Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to Redmen TV. Welcome to your daily news for Monday, the 22nd of July.
Is that the date?
Yeah, I did it before I came on.
Nice.
I'm Ross Shanley. This is Tom Dutton. Yay. Hi, Tom.
Hello, everyone.
We're here to bring you all your transfer news, latest Liverpool news, and bollocks, Tom. We're all here for the bollocks.
It's annoyed me today. I mean, something that really hasn't annoyed me, or has kind of made me very jealous, is the fact that Paul, Chris, and Ben got to interview Jürgen Klopp.
So after you've watched this, the lads are out there. They've been in America for a couple of days now, haven't they? They've done some couple of interviews. A short one with Jürgen Klopp, which is on the main Redmen channel. So after you watch this, go over there and watch that. We've also got, as Tom just said, Paul tweeted yesterday, the Jürgen Klopp sequel is coming up. We haven't spoken to them, but it'll be out in a couple of days.
Oh, it's getting edited at some point. It'll be edited today. It's coming out soon. It's going to replace this interview, which is the Hendo and Ox interview, which is also fantastic. That was before the Champions League final. And just the spirit that they had going into that is amazing, to go and watch that back, because the way they went in with the utmost confidence now, looking back on, that's fantastic. But there's going to be a nice shiny new picture there that's going to say Jürgen Klopp interview.
But also, it's a great time to subscribe, because you get it for free. You get to start the season for free. You can watch the first Jürgen Klopp interview and then go and watch the second one, and you know,
there you go.
A bit of sequel prequel going on.
We're good at this thing.
And if you don't like it, sack it off. But you'll get all the pre-match content, post-match content that we do for a normal season. Things are a little bit quieter now, but we do loads when the season's going on. There's like two games a week from the start, so it's going to be pretty hectic. You get loads for your £5 a month. Yeah. And as I said, if you don't like it, biff it off. And as we said before, Tom, you're fuming this morning. Tell people why.
Well, I'm not fuming. It's just the problem is this little word or phrase here. A report claims, Ross, because it really, really annoys me. It boils my blood, if that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure I've said that.
Yeah, did you say that then?
Not today, but I'm pretty sure you did.
Basically, it really, really annoys me, because it's genuinely, this is an article, Liverpool boss Jürgen Klopp is keen on the idea of sealing a reunion with Borussia Dortmund star Marco Reus, report claims. Where does this report come from, Ross?
Somewhere else, Tom.
Don Balon. Oh. So then we translated this, and then obviously there's a picture of Coutinho, because why not? And then let's just start here. And if it is added that Marco Reus's fetish trainer was precisely that of Stuttgart, it results in a romance that has always remained latent. Reus, who is quoted by all the greats, has again had peaks of crack as before his ordeal with injuries. The Bavarian striker, in a statement to Goal, said of his former coach, Jürgen can develop players and improve them. That's a very important factor. Blah, 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 blah. There is literally nothing.
I mean, I took two things out of that. Marco Reus fetish trainer. Pretty sure that's peaks of crack.
And peaks of crack, exactly. I mean, but then the article comes from Goal, which is something we reported on last week. And literally nothing came of it, where literally it's just Reus saying how much he liked training with Jürgen Klopp back in the day. That's all this is, Ross. And these links, you've got to be so careful with all of the stuff. And look, we report on a lot of this stuff.
But we also call it out.
Exactly. We come on here and we just say, no, this is bollocks. And this is another one of them things where I'm confident in saying it's not going to happen. He's 30 years old. Why would we get him?
No, it's really difficult from a reporting perspective. I know it's clickbait and people want to get in there and stuff, but it's kind of like, it's the search engine just going, oh, is it? Here's an ex-player that Klopp worked with, Jürgen Klopp's name, Liverpool. And that's what all people are searching for, because they want the transfer news. Liverpool, as we've known, have become really good at keeping transfer news pretty quiet, even from like the main Liverpool journalists are just saying that there isn't anything. We're not leading anything. We know we got punished with like Van Dijk. You know, it cost us 6 months of having Van Dijk. Keep your mouth shut. And it's clickbaity shit just to get people in. But
all this clickbaity. Oh yeah, it's all bollocks. Blah blah blah. But would you have Marco Ruiz?
There's no doubt he's a quality player. But Jurgen Klopp said time and time again he won't link up with people that he's worked with before. Mm. And like you just said, getting a 30-year-old in, I'm presuming it'll cost a fair bit of money. That's not an FSG sign to me. No. I'm like. But then again, if he went and did it, I'd be a bit of a hypocrite. I'd be quite happy because I trust what he does.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's tough because after all that, I mean, bring him in, low wages, few last seasons, maybe. But it's not going to happen, and it just annoys me, Ross. It really does.
Next story, right? We spoke about this on the instant match reaction. Obviously, Liverpool lost the second pre-season game last night after they lost to Dortmund. They lost to Sevilla 2-1 last night.
It means we're the worst, Ross. It means we're doing nothing all season. Liverpool lost two pre-season games. Season's over.
Yeah,
it's not though, is it?
It's a shame, really, because that came out of the game from some people. But the main thing that came out of that was obviously the Yasser Lirici foul tackle. It was absolutely horrendous. You know, loads of people obviously called out and stuff. You know, this report from the BBC saying, you know, James Milner was interviewed. He was asked, you know, was it too much? I thought so. We know it's only a friendly, but you don't see many red cards in friendlies. We don't normally see too many tackles like that, and it wasn't the only one either. Tommy, like, I know you've seen bits of the game, but I watched the full game. It's like from minute one, and I said this in the office upstairs before. I like that they want to make a pre-season game competitive, but you don't have to go about it like that way. I mean, on the press they were dead good. The build-up play was really good, but like, they've just booting people and just being like pricks from the start. You're thinking, why is that lad, who's obviously 18-year-old, completely innocent.
Yeah.
It was frustration that built up because they wanted the foul before.
That Lovren made the tackle. The foul.
And that was his go-to. So his first instant reaction, which pissed me off even more, of going, wasn't to see if he was okay. He went to the referee to go and complain about a foul that happened 30 seconds before.
It's mad. It seems like this might be a recurring theme of people really, really want to beat Liverpool. It's going to be a feather in the cap. It's going to be something they can build on for the season. Sevilla will have taken that and gone, if we can do that to Liverpool, regardless of who's playing in pre-season, we can do that to Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool side, then we can go on and we can have a better season, you know what I mean? Maybe kick on. It is annoying, but Jurgen Klopp basically says, it looks like Lirici was lucky, but we have to wait. He hit him full throttle. Had he got a knock on his cheekbone and his eye, so that was not too cool. In general, I don't like overly hard games. The challenge is there to win the ball. That's the only reason. There are rules. I don't want to say anything specific about this game because there will be headlines. I want to have a holiday in Spain again. It's fair. I mean, he basically said right about the football of this game, and he admitted fully that it wasn't good enough. I mean, you can watch all the post-match press stuff. Obviously, you and James did an instant match reaction. Paul's done a match reaction straight after the game in the ground. They saw Klopp after his post-match press conference. So we've got you all covered with this game. So if you want to see that in detail, get over on the website. It's all there, or on the YouTube channel. It's all there too. It is just it's a tough one. Obviously,
it's a shame to be talking about it as well. I kind of like thinking about it in the bigger picture, like the way he's kind of controlled that, because he could have easily gone full in on the guy that fouled Lirici and like mentally kind of destroyed him. Okay, the tackle wasn't on, but he's obviously immature. I'm not excusing what he did. Mm. But Jurgen Klopp could have gone full pal and go, actually, that's not on. He might have done that behind closed doors. You know, there's a video before of Van Dijk, Henderson, I think one other, went over to the lad after the game. He obviously knows he's in the wrong. I think, you know, we'll come on to it in a bit. He's come out and apologised.
Well, let's just go straight to that. He's obviously put an apology on Twitter, but the translation is, I want to publicly apologise to Liverpool, the players, family and fans. It was an odious act on my part that I had no place on the football pitch. All my prayers are with the players and his family. There's some interesting comments from some not very impressed Liverpool fans. We'll just go straight to... where's it gone? Okay, let's not have that one. Here's a good one. Don't worry about it, we all make mistakes. I would clatter your nan's left kneecap when I see her coming out the spa. But all in all, don't worry. There's just loads of your mum drinks Sprite. I thought that was a really good one. And this just sums it all up. Appreciate the apology, but it was just a friendly. There was zero need to injure anyone and potentially ruin their career horrible. Cause
He has to come out and apologise, obviously, because it would be a disgrace if he didn't. But, I don't know if it sounds like it was. It's like, he could have had him killed. He's like, you know, he could have broken his leg or broken his ankle. That's a serious injury. And this is the lad that James made the point before of, you know, he's been pretty impressive during his pre-season. There's a spot for backup left back or covering that spot, and he was getting towards that, and he's potentially just been destroyed if he has to, you know, he's got a bruised leg or something like that. That's a couple of weeks out, and then before you know it, the season started, and he's been set back already for the sake of a pre-season friendly. And I'd say the pre-season friendly stuff, just put it out the window. Doesn't matter. You wouldn't do that in a normal game, would you?
He knew he could get away with it because it was a pre-season. Probably the ref was going to be a bit lenient. A few little, transfers that aren't really about Liverpool, because I thought it was quite interesting to kind of talk about some of the players we've been linked with, and they moved away, or they aren't linked with Liverpool anymore. So Pepe wants Liverpool, writes Napolista. Until 2 days ago, there were three teams interested in Nicolas Pepe in addition to Napoli. And then Libero adds another contender, Liverpool, because he wants to move there. Basically, DS Guintoli made an attempt for him, but the Ivarian wants Liverpool.
A report suggests,
there we go again. It seems like he's going to United. And then there's another one, David Neres wants to move to Everton. Well, there's a bid being made for him, but he's linked with Everton. And there's a big list of players There's a big list of players, basically. Dani Ceballos for Arsenal. Naby Fekir is going to Real Betis on Napoli. Bruno Fernandes looks like he's going to United. Nicolas Pepe is United as well. David Neres, we just spoke about, Everton. And Ryan Sessegnon on Spurs. These are a load of players that Liverpool were linked with who are now, it seems like, nothing's happening. Are you worried about that? Are you caring about that? It's something that Jurgen Klopp said all season.
I'm not worried about it. I like the sense of the fact that, you know, we only go for people that we want to buy. And yeah, there might have been links and stuff. Liverpool might have looked at players, but they might have gone, actually, you're not the right person. Because you link with someone doesn't mean, although Liverpool are interested in someone, necessarily means that they want to go out there and do everything they can to go and get them. They might think, oh, actually, he seems all right. Mm-hmm. Look at his characteristics, his background. We know Liverpool do an in-depth look at people and where they come from and ask loads of people questions and stuff. I'm actually not right. Oh, you know, the deal might not be right. And they've shown again, like I said before, we'll wait for the person that we want. Yeah. If Pepe's there, fine. And saw loads of people kicking off about the Naby Fekir stuff again, because like he's going for like £20 million, it's less than £20 million, I think, in the end. And then now they've stopped it because they're holding out for a better deal. So they just use Batiste, and it's like, can you be arsed with that? Really, like he's not got the club's interests at heart. His legs are made of cheese drinks, and it's £20 million we could go and spend on Mbappe next season. Tom,
exactly. No, it is one of them. But Si, do you have any comments for us, mate?
Just one on the Larucci tackle. Lovic Leginu says he should be fined and banned for that assault because it wasn't even a tackle.
Yeah, it was. Literally, he's running away and he boots him in the leg. And you said it right before that you wouldn't do that in a normal game because... And that's the problem with these sometimes. Usually they're played in good spirits, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the way that Sevilla went about it, they celebrated the goals like it was a final and stuff, which is fair enough. But
I quite like that competitiveness though. But there's no need to be around kicking people. Like I said, it wasn't the only one. Like Harry Wilson got like an elbow, and I think he was quite unlucky to get a finger in the eye. But still, and like even there was like a free kick that early on, the lad jumped 5 yards in front of the wall before the kick was taken, and then complained. It's like the fifth minute of the game, thinking, Jesus Christ, calm it down. But like,
we're going to have to put up with this now, Ross. I feel like, I really do feel like teams are going to come at us and just look to
beat our best players. But there needs to be some sort of protection there, because you can't use that as an excuse to go around kicking people, going, well, the Champions of Europe, it's sound, ref.
Yeah,
it's fine, you know what I mean? And the comment's right as well, because there's no punishment for that now, is there? Because you won't get a 3-match ban because it's a friendly, doesn't really matter. Whereas, you know, you can use this as an example to go, actually, if it's pre-season friendly, you think, you can get sent off. You might do it on Pez. I mean, Si does it all the time. I do it all the time. Just snapping someone because they threw on goal. Well, there's no recurrence after that, and there's not a pre-season friendly either. So you kind of use it as an example, actually go, maybe a fine, or I don't know what the rules are. Maybe they can't give them a ban because it's not a Spanish league game, it's not a European game, so they're not involved in that.
It's just going to destroy relations with Liverpool and Sevilla in the long run.
Do not play them again.
And just be like, look, no, in terms of all the fans that we've got over there that are giving you money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I saw there's two tweets last night. I think one was Paul Senior and one was Steele, and it got to the late in second half. I think it might have been after that.
Yeah.
I was just saying Liverpool just walk off the pitch.
Yeah, just go.
And first thought was like, well, do you know what? Yeah, you're not here. You're here for fitness and to get that competitiveness back. You're not here to have the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah, true. Another comment, sir.
So we've got a couple. There's been quite a bit of discussion talking about whether Liverpool do need to sign someone and if they're sure. I'll start with I'll start with this one. So Southwark 2012 says we have to sign some players. Pre-season is just games. I feel we really do rely on Mane, Salah and Firmino. We need to bring in Dembele or Dybala. And then Khalifa 07 says pre-season doesn't mean nothing, but you can see we don't have backup for the big players. What happens if one of the front three get injured? What if you need a plan B?
Can I have my say on this? I echo that sentiment in the sense of, as I said before, I trust Klopp and what they do and stuff, and they want to put their faith into Brewster and Origi and Shaqiri. Like, I trust that right now. But because we've come so close to winning the Premier League, and I get you see City spending money on other players and stuff like that, if you've got an opportunity, and this is the big point, is there's an opportunity to bring someone in. Don't go and get someone for the sake of getting them going. Someone mentioned Dybala there. Like, it might not work out. You know, we might not be what we need to fit in the system and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, he's a quality player, I get that. If there's someone there that you can go and improve on that can support the front three better than what we've already got, fine, I get that.
Yeah.
And the worry is, because we came so close, what happens if they're not good enough? We don't know this, and we can't really complain now. And I will happily complain in 6 months' time if Origi doesn't perform, yeah. Brewster doesn't perform, Shaqiri doesn't perform, and going, actually, well, you had an opportunity to close the gap there on City,
yeah.
And we're only 1 point behind, and yet they're improving. You know, they're strengthening. I said this last week, if you don't have to strengthen by going out and spending money, I get that. People are just worried about the risk of what if they don't do that, because they're an unknown quantity in that sense of yeah. going, it's a lot of pressure on Brewster, it's a lot of pressure on Origi, looks really good actually, by the way. But still, previous seasons have shown there's a big drop-off between the front three yeah. and Origi, the front three and Shaqiri.
It's one of them. Someone's going to get injured during the season for me, and it's tough because I want to sit here now and put full faith in Jurgen Klopp, but then a lot of people are going to say, well, he deserves the backlash at the end of it. If we do fall short because we haven't bolstered the left wing or the left back position because we've had the chance to do this, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, like, me and Si had a discussion on Friday on the Reds transfer roundup, if you want to go back and watch that. We said at the end of it, are we being too positive about it? Are we being too laissez-faire in terms of just going, oh, let's just go into the season and we don't need to bolster? You know what I mean? It's a very real consideration that we don't really have to make. We just go, oh, we think that we need this, we think we need this. Whereas Jurgen Klopp's got that challenge. They'll have sat down and thought through every single stipulation. What if he gets injured? What if he gets injured? How do we do all this? And Jurgen Klopp said, we have the players for the circumstances. And I fully believe that we have the people that can play in different positions. Look, if Firmino gets injured, all right, it's not going to be the same, but Mane moves in there, Origi goes to the left. Salah gets injured, we've got Shaqiri in there. We have different places to cover. Of course, it's not going to be top class. It's not going
to
be the
but
top.
But is that enough to bridge the gap to win the Premier League? That's people's concern.
And I
fully understand that, and with that.
Yeah, I know, it is a very tough one, but I guess we'll see during the season. Let the football do the talking, not the transfers. This is the problem with the transfer season, is you go, we need to sign this one. We haven't seen proper competitive football yet. We've seen pre-season games where people are trying to get fitness. And as soon as you let Jurgen Klopp and the teams work on the pitch, you'll see exactly what you should be seeing. That's what they do the talking with, not with signings, not with transfers. They don't do that. They do it with performances on the pitch.
I was mentioned it. Funny you mentioned that, actually. We're going to do another Reds news up this afternoon. And one of the things we've got lined up for that is, I think James Knowlton, I might be wrong there, wrote an article last week. And said how good at Liverpool are of controlling the media mm-hmm. and what they put out. And obviously we've got stung by the Van Dijk stuff, so as much as you think that nothing's might happening, it might be a very different case behind the scenes, and we just don't know. It's also concerning because there's only, I think it's 2 weeks on Thursday, the day before we play Norwich, mm-hmm. the window closes, and you're thinking, you know, we bought signs and Chamberlain took a while to get settled in, Robertson took a while to get settled in, Fabinho took a while to get settled in, and we bought someone now, they're not there on the tour, and yeah. I get people's panic and frustration, but yeah, we tap our hands in it. Like,
fair. But you can find that on the Redmond TV, which is up on your screen right now. Obviously, all the Sevilla post-match content. That's the daily news from last week. That's the Mitch and Pedro podcast from last week as well. We're going to keep you covered, up to date with all of the pre-season stuff. We've got loads of fantastic interviews from Fenway Park and stuff. Obviously, the Jurgen Klopp interview. We're going to be covering Edinburgh and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've just got one. The XSH Temper sends a super chat.
Thank you, mate.
Read that out. In your opinion, just answer quickly because we haven't got too much time. In your opinion, what was the main factor of why we lost our last two games? Was it the heat, pitch, or just not enough match fitness yet?
I think it might be both. I watched last night and Sevilla were really surprising, the fact that they came out the front foot and kind of played us at our own game. Mm-hmm. And it almost looked like we weren't ready for it. Yeah. Like their pressing was like, they just played us at our own game. I was thinking, fucking hell. I was like, and it took us like 5 or 10 minutes to kind of pick it up, maybe even longer than that, to kind of pick it up. And, you know, you think the cohesion that we talked, I mean, James talked about before, going, like, he's chopping and changing four or five plays, they don't know what's going on, the heat, the inexperience. And I know you can caveat every pre-season that you lose, going, oh, it's only pre-season, it's here for fitness. And when you win, you're like, oh, yeah, Twatty Bradford 6-0, yeah. It's just dead soundless. But it's that step up in progression, step up in quality that you're playing. Sevier aren't a crap side by any time. They're a bit of a bogey team for us as well, so it's probably a mix of everything.
Yeah, it's one of them. I think it is just the heat and stuff, and it's getting everyone back in. Mix of Jurgen Klopp trying a few little different things with different players. Like you say, when we win, fantastic. When we lose,
it's pre-season.
Who's ass? But look, everyone, thank you very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with loads more news and rumours. Obviously, get over on the website, check out all the interviews that we've got. Red Centre Roundup's going out later. Check out all the women's stuff as well, coming out on Wednesday, wrapping up all that and their pre-season stuff, who are also in America as well. So, yeah, thank you everyone for watching. Ross.
See you tomorrow.
Sai behind the camera. Thank you very much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.